fourth chapter of sixth canto about the Hamsa Guhya prayers offered by Daksha, the Supreme Lord. So yesterday we saw that how Parikshit Maharaj, after hearing about this episode of Ajamil, he had requested Shukadeva Goswami to continue with the discussion about this, about the discussion of Visarga. So he wanted to know about how the other species, including the devatas and human beings, etc., how they were created, which was briefly described by Maitreya to Vidura, and subsequently by Shukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj in the third canto. He wanted a more of that. So in response, Shukadeva Goswami starts describing, because the subsequent creation is going to happen through Daksha, so he is going to continue that discussion, that how Daksha, after giving up his body, subsequently eventually how he took birth again and eventually started the creation in the later Manvantara. So that we are going to see. So we started seeing actually yesterday. So Suta Goswami says that after hearing this request by Parikshit Maharaj, Shukadeva Goswami was very pleased and he responded. He says, "When the 10th sons of Prachinabarhi, when they came out of water, they saw that the whole earth had been covered by trees because there was no king to take care. Proper agriculture was not facilitated. So all these trees overgrew. So they became very angry. Also, it was fueled by the austerities that they had performed underwater, which was quite severe. So they started burning the trees by releasing wind and fire from their mouth. And while this was happening, Soma, the king of the trees, he came and he tried to pacify them. He said, actually, I understand your desire is to just increase the population. So, because you are the protectors of citizens, so why are you burning these helpless trees? And he says that it is actually the Supreme Lord who has created all these species. So then why should you feel envious about them? Why should you be destroying them? And then he quotes, he says, Ahastani sahastanam, apadani chatushpadam. You know, like you are actually literally wiping out a very key cog in the whole ecosystem. If you destroy all these trees, you know, it will, how subsequently it will affect the rest of the species in the food cycle. It will be a tremendous problem. And then he says, your father, I don't ever recollect either your father or the Supreme Lord order you to do all these things. I know that they have ordered you to generate population, but who gave you the order to actually destroy these trees? Then therefore he says, actually, Mahajano Yena Gatasapanta, you have had very wonderful predecessors in your family. So if you would just follow in their footsteps, that would be great. So therefore, please control your anger. And then he says that how should a king behave, or in this case, kings, how should the kings take care of their citizens? He says they should take care of their citizens just like the parents would protect the children, the eyelids would protect the eye, the husband would protect the wife, and the householders would protect, the other orders of life who are supposed to live their life by begging. And the same way, intelligent persons would protect the ignorant people. So, and then he says, actually, don't you know that it is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead who is present as the soul in the bodies of all living beings? So if you understand this and if you have internalized this, then you would see every body of every living entity as the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you would treat them with more respect. So therefore, and if you treat them in this way, then the Supreme Lord will also be satisfied with you. This is where we ended yesterday, right? Hari Bhakti Prabhu?
Prabhuji, 13th was over, 14th was remaining.
Yeah, that's what. Till 13th we completed.
Yeah.
Okay. So my voice is clear, right? Or is it breaking in between?
No, clear, Prabhuji.
Clear, na? Okay. So, okay. We will start now today's discussion. Yas samutpatitam deha akasham manyumulbanam atma jignyasaya yachet sagunan ativartate. Yaha yachet. Yachet means to control, to try to control. One who pacifies ulbanam manyum. Ulbanam means very dangerous, deadly, powerful anger. Manyu is anger. Akashat samupatitam. Akashat samupatitam means suddenly out of nowhere. Akash se gir gaya, like that. Akashat samutpatitam, which appears, one who pacifies the powerful anger which appears suddenly, deha, within the body. Atma jidhyasaya, by inquiry about the Lord. Saha gunanati vartate. He surpasses the gunas. So, actually, here he is not indicating that after anger comes, you start inquiry about the Lord. What this means is, one who is habituated to performing Atma Jigyasa, he will not fall prey to anger. That's what it means. It's not that as soon as anger comes, you sit down, perform Achavan and start inquiring about the Absolute Truth. That does not happen. We all know by our practical experience. But one who is a very very thoughtful person and who makes the right kind of inquiry, and especially about the nature of the self, nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who has invested sufficient thoughts in such subject matters, for such a person, when all of a sudden an opportunity to become angry it manifests, then he will be able to pacify it. That's what it means. So here, that's what here Soma is telling the Prachetas also. So so he says, when anger arises, how can one deliberate in this way? In this way refers to the previous verse. So the previous verse said, you should understand that the Supreme Lord as the Super Soul is present in the body of everyone. Therefore, you should see everyone's body as the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So someone may ask, after anger arises, how can you deliberate in this way? Oh, this is the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he says, Akashat means suddenly, one should pacify anger by deliberation on the Atma. One will surpass the gunas by doing this, but otherwise one will be destroyed by the gunas. Basically, yeah, by practice of bhakti, inquiry into the Absolute Truth, because, and also, sa gunan samatitya, what does it say? Sa gunan ativartate. And of course, the means of overcoming the three gunas also we understand. Yes, mam chayo avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatitya etan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. So having spoken the technique of pacification, sama, he then speaks using the technique of dissension, bheda. So sama means to pacify. No, you should not be doing it like that. Bheda means to create some dissension or some doubt. So here he is creating the doubt that look, the way you are acting, you will not be surpassing the three modes. you will not be pleasing Supreme Lord. And then like that he is creating a doubt. So whether the what he is doing is right or wrong, you know these four types of trying to convince a person. Sama, Dana, Bheda, Danda. Sama is through speaking, you know, sweet words and trying to pacify that person. Dana means to try to attract him by giving him some gifts or something like that. And Bheda is to create inner doubts and fear. And Danda means to actually punish. So these are the four ways of trying to convince a person like that. So here he says that he who pacifies the powerful anger which appears suddenly in the body by inquiry about the Lord surpasses the gunas, and not the person who instinctively reacts to that anger because of not having deliberated sufficiently upon the Atma and the Paramatma, like that. Any quick comments, questions before we move on to the purport?
Prabhuji?
Yeah.
Yesterday we were telling that when one performs tapasya without bhakti, then it produces anger.
It makes the heart hard. And one of the symptoms of a hardened heart is intolerance. And intolerance manifests in the form of anger, actually.
So, Prabhuji, in our life, like, we are told to perform certain austerities, like control of mind and senses.
Correct.
So, and at our stage, we are not getting higher taste to say no to such things, like, let us take some prasadam being served. Nice items are being served in prasadam.
Acha?
That is bhakti, Ali Prabhu.
So we see that if it is not there, then it is not in mind only. So we are very happy, but we see that it's there, and to say no, it really one has to think that what you call. No, I should be austere. I should not be doing this. So to say no to such an gratification without having higher taste. So will it not produce anger?
I mean, palena parichiyate. You see what kind of impact it is having. So, see, the point is, if you bhogadityaga krishnasya hetave, so one of the first 20 limbs, which are like essential non-negotiable limbs of bhakti, that Srila Rupa Goswami says is bhogadityaga krishnasya hetave. One should actually endeavor to give up sense gratification, but he qualifies that by telling Krishnasya hetave. This would please Krishna. This would please Krishna. So it is not that we should not endeavor to control our senses or mind, but then we should see what motivates us to control the senses and mind. So if it is for the pleasure of Krishna, then it will not harden the heart. But if there is some other purpose, selfish purpose that drives our these kind of endeavors, then it can potentially lead to hardening of heart. And whether and based on if we are constantly engaging in these kind of activities, if we can observe ourselves. Are we becoming intolerant to other people not doing it? Or are we becoming proud and happy when other people are not able to do it? Are we comparing constantly ourselves with others? So these are symptoms where we can understand that probably you know, I'm not doing this austerity in the right attitude and mood, like that. I have seen devotees was tremendously strict with themselves, and when you see them, when you deal with them, even or when they deal with others who are very loose, who are unable to practice even maybe 2-3% of what they are practicing, but they behave with them as if you know, they themselves are not doing anything. You know, I have seen some devotees like you know, Prem Gaurang Prabhu. I have seen him personally, very, very personally strict in his practices, very strict. But when it comes to dealing with people who are not able to follow anything, he will. I have never ever sensed even once, you know, his feeling, you know, a sense of superiority, or his talking about it, about the austerities that he has been performing, or making it obvious that I am performing this austerity, you know, none of that will be present. And you can clearly see that he is doing it for the pleasure, and there is an extreme level of sensitivity in dealing with others who are unable to perform such kind of austerities. So this, for me, this is a very powerful symptom that that particular austerity is being performed for the pleasure of Krishna. So it's not that we should not perform austerities, or we should stop performing austerities. Rather, we should try to rectify our motives and see and do it for the pleasure of Krishna, and maybe constantly look for those symptoms which may indicate that our heart is getting harder, like that. If you are comparing, if you are becoming proud, if you have a condescending attitude towards others who are not able to do, if you lack that empathy and a sensitivity in dealing with others who are not able to live up to that standard. So these are probably some symptoms that we can look out for in our own attitude and behavior, to see if we are doing those austerities in the right mode, actually. Is that okay, Muktakeshu?
Or? Yes.
Okay. Shall we move on to Prabhupada's purport? Yes, Hari Bhakti Prabhu.
When one becomes angry, he forgets himself and his situation. But if one is able to consider his situation by knowledge, one transcends the influence of the modes of material nature. One is always a servant of lusty desires, anger, greed, illusion, envy, and so forth. But if one obtains sufficient strength in spiritual advancement, one can control them. One who obtains such control will always be transcendentally situated, untouched by the modes of material nature. This is only possible when one fully engages in the service of the Lord. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 14:26, Mam cheva vicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samati taitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the spiritual platform. By engaging one in devotional service, the Krishna consciousness movement keeps one always transcendental to anger, greed, lust, envy, and so forth. One must perform devotional service, because otherwise one will become victimized by the modes of material nature.
Yeah. Same point Prabhupada is making, a very clear presentation. The opportunity is there for constant engagement. And by constant engagement, you actually overcome. Once, at least momentarily, you know, and there is nice engagement. So that is our way of overcoming, you know, by giving it some engagement like that. And of course, you may say that, you know, how you can engage the tongue and the belly, which are looking for tasting and you know, stuffing more than necessary. See, actually, here, when there is engagement for other senses, you must have noticed that when we are nicely engaged, even though we are not engaging the tongue or the belly, but engagement of absorbing engagement of the other senses actually help you transcend the needs of the tongue and belly also, if you have noticed this in your, you know, this is not a spiritual phenomenon also. Even in the material world, you know, when board exams or, you know, JEE exams or NEET exams, whatever, and they come closer, you know, people do transcend the needs of the tongue or belly, you know, while one is, let's say, on the way, you know, he's going to write the JEE exam. And then on that day morning, do you think that person will ask his mother, oh, what have you made for breakfast? Have you made coconut chutney or tomato chutney to be taken with dosa? You know, those things, and all, you know, on a normal day, someone may ask. But on such days, you know, whatever it is, he may even, his mother may have to remind him, hey, take breakfast and go, you know, like that. Like that. So if we have that kind of a gainful, satisfying engagement, then we will not try to overindulge on the side of, you know, any of the senses, including tongue and belly, like that. And of course, Krishnasya Hetave, if we have a proper goal, if we are, if the more we are rooted in that goal that, yes, I need to act in a way that pleases Krishna and Guru, then definitely we will, that gives us an, that gives us an impetus to, yes, this will not be pleasing to someone. So when we try to refrain from something for pleasing someone, it does not lead to hardening of heart. And again, of course, when done on the level of spirituality, additionally, the mercy of Krishna comes. But even from a material platform, if you see, this is true. Like when the, you know, when, let's say, when the, there is one ice cream which the father likes and the son likes, but there is only one. If, the father would give it to the son, but it would not necessarily make the father angry, because in giving it to the son and receiving the affection of the son in reciprocation, it actually melts his heart and it does not make the heart strong, hard. So when any austerity is performed with a desire to please a beloved, actually, so that actually does not lead to hardening of heart. So therefore, the purpose is very important. And the same thing holds good to for Bhogadityaga Krishnasya Hetave. Are we, if we do it for the pleasure of Krishna, then it will not necessarily lead to hardening of heart like that. Is that okay?
Yes, yes, Prabhu.
Yeah. So, okay. Alam dagdair drumair dinaihi khilanam shivamastuvah Varkshihyesha vara kanya patnitve pratigrihyatam. So now Sama Bheda is over. Now he is coming to Dana, because he understood that by Sama and Bheda, they were not pacified. So he comes to the third stage, which is Dana. So let me give some gift. Let's see if at least by that they become pacified. So Soma says, Alam dinaihi dagdaihi drumaihi. Alam means enough of burning these faultless trees. Khilanam shivamastu. Khilanam means whatever is remaining. Shivamastu, let the remaining trees be stand, let them stand auspiciously. Pratigrihyatam varkshi hyesha varakanya. So, please accept the excellent daughter. Varakanya, excellent daughter. Varkshi is the daughter of the trees. Patnitve, as your wife, you please accept this wonderful daughter of your daughter of the trees, like that they are offering. So Srila Vishnu Jagadagur says, having seen that Bheda did not pacify their anger, he then uses dana, giving gifts. She was considered the daughter of the trees because she was raised by the trees. She was not given birth by the trees. Of course, Prabhupada also writes, she was the daughter of Pramlocha Apsara. Because she left the daughter there, the trees took care of her like that. Okay. So, is there a purport?
No, Prabhuji, no purport.
Okay. इत्यामन्त्र्यवरारोहां कन्याम् अप्सरसीं नृप सोमो राजाय यौ दत्त्वा केदर्मेणोपयेमिरे इति आमन्त्र्य दस् अड्वैसिङ्ग् देम् इन् दिस् वे सोमो राजा द सोमा द किङ्ग् आफ् द ट्रीस् दत्त्वा हेविङ्ग् गिवन् कन्याम् अप्सरसीं दट् डाटर् आफ् दट् अप्सर वरारोहां हू हेड् फैन् हिप्स् ययौ आफ्टर् गिविङ्ग् द डाटर् He left back to his abode. Te dharmena upayemire. And according to the proper religious rites, they married Marisha. That was the name of that daughter. She was the daughter of Apsara Pramlocha. Is there a purport?
No purport.
Te bhyastasyam samabhavad daksha pracheta sakkila yasya प्रजा विसर्गेण लोका आपूरितास्त्रयः तस्याम इन दैट गर्ल मारीशा दक्षः प्राचेतसः समभवत् दक्षा द सन ऑफ द प्रचेतस ही टुक बर्थ तेभ्यः अंड टू द प्रचेतस यस्य प्रजा विसर्गेण लोकात्रयः आपूरितः एंड ही वाज एंगेज्ड इन फिलिंग द थ्री वर्ल्ड्स विद वेरियस स्पीशीज वेरियस लिविंग एंटिटीज Srila Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur says, being in the dynasty of Swayambhu Manu, Daksha was born during his Manvantara. So, during Swayambhu Manvantara, which is the first Manvantara, Daksha was born. Creation of the progeny by Daksha took place, however, during the Chakshusha Manvantara, which is the sixth Manvantara. So, we are now talking about Daksha performing his role as Prajapati in the sixth Manvantara. And of course, during Swayambhu Manvantara also, he created progeny, but not on such a large scale. He had not established himself. He did establish himself as a Prajapati, but then eventually that was his the stay at that position as a Prajapati was cut short by the Dakshayagya episode. And then eventually he got a goat's head. But then again, he was not very happy, so he performed austerities for a long time. So, creation of the progeny by Daksha took place, however, during the Chakshusha Manvantara, since it has been said, Chakshushe tu antare prapte praksarge kala vidrute yas sasarja praja ishtaha sadaksho daiva choditaha. Fourth canto says, his previous body had been destroyed, but he, the same Daksha, inspired by the Supreme Will, created all the desired living entities in the Chakshusha Manvantara. So he gave up that body of with the goat's head, and then in the Swayambhu Manvantara only, he took birth as the son of the Prachetas. So this birth takes place in the, his second birth as Daksha takes place in the Swayambhu Manvantara, but subsequently for five Manvantaras, he performs austerities. It should be understood that for five Manvantara periods, he performed austerities to regain his powers in order to carry out creation during Chakshusha Manvantara. So, he for five Manvantara periods, he performed austerities to regain that power. Like that. So now, can you believe five Manvantara periods? One Manvantara period is 71 Chatur Yugas, which means 71 into 43,20,000 years. Multiplied by 5. So, and it's simply mind-boggling that for such a long time he performed austerities. Yeah, and then after that, he actually regained the power to create. So now, after performing austerities for so long, and while doing that, he is going to offer the Hamsaguhya prayers, that which we will be seeing very shortly. Any purport?
Yes, Prabhuji. Yeah. Daksha's example comes in the comes as an example for bhakti in the mode of passion. Kya?
Ignorance. I have heard that, but could you find a reference for that? Because I have heard that the example.
Dhruva is for passion, I guess. And
Dhruva for passion.
Prithu
Maharaj for goodness and Daksha for ignorance. See, of the three, only Dhruva Maharaj's example seem reasonable to me. Both Daksha and the example of Prithu Maharaj does not seem very reasonable to me. So, because Prithu Maharaj's practice of bhakti is certainly not, it was not for the purpose of liberation.
Mm.
And neither was there is a presentation. Daksha certainly did show the mode of ignorance by becoming angry and all that. Mm. But whether he worshipped the Supreme, his clearly from what the way he is worshipping him for regaining the Prajapati post back, it seems more like Rajoguni Bhakti only rather than Tamoguni Bhakti. So both Dhruva Maharaj, before he saw the Supreme Lord, and Daksha are examples of Rajoguni Bhakti, Prithu Maharaj certainly is not Sattoguni Bhakti. The way in which Kapiladev describes in the third canto. From that, I don't think that they fall in that category.
Prabhuji, what happened to Daksha at the end? Means he like...
What happened to Daksha means?
It's like he is reciting this prayer so that he generates the population, he expands the population.
Correct.
But did he attain perfection then? Because we hit the episode only of his getting angry with Narad Muni. Then later
did he attain perfection? Yeah, I mean, he attained perfection according to his own definition of perfection.
Hmm.
Which means, according to him, perfection means if I do my role of Prajapati very nicely and increase the population, that was his understanding of perfection, and he did achieve perfection in that.
Okay,
is that okay, Hari Bhakti Guru?
Yes, Prabhu. No, Chaitanya Chandra Guru had something.
Yeah. So.
Daksha in the first Manvantara, he was killed. Later in 6 Manvantara, I mean for 5 Manvantara he did austerities, and then 6 Manvantara he created Pujini. Mm. So then later again he went for austerities because Priyavrat Maharaj comes into picture, there was nobody. Daksha
yeah,
went for austerity.
Yeah. So
Daksha again goes for austerity.
Yeah. Again, he will go for austerity. Now, that's what we are going to discuss now.
Okay. 5 Manvantaras plus later something.
Plus additional. Yeah.
Okay.
No. Actually, I'm sorry.
Okay.
So, I got the chronology wrong. Now, Dhruva Maharaj dynasty is continuing. It has come to the stage of Prachina Barhi. Then Prachina Barhi, from him came the Prachetas. From Prachetas came Daksha. So, Daksha, he decided to go and perform austerities. So, at that time, for 5 Manvantara periods, there was no one. That is why in the interim period, Priyavrat Maharaj was approached.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is Manuputra, na? So, Devarat Maharaj is the Manuputra for the Swayambhu Manvantara. Therefore, it is reasonable to approach him actually. So, approaching Priyavrat Maharaj because of lack of next heir apparent to take care of that kingdom must have happened in the Swayambhu Manvantara only when Daksha decided to go and perform long austerities. So, but now, you know, Daksha actually, he will start progenating. That will happen in the sixth Manvantara. So whether this Hamsa Guhya prayers, which he is going to offer to the Supreme Lord, he must have offered these prayers, you know, continuously or constantly or periodically like that. I feel it could have been in the Swayambhu Manvantara or the Swarochisha or one of these Manvantaras in between also, he could have offered these prayers. But the meeting with the Lord and the Lord eventually benedicting him that yes, he could progenate, you know, he could create progeny and all that. That happened in the Chakshusha Manvantara. But when exactly he offered these Hamsa Guhya prayers, that is not very clearly indicated. He must have probably constantly been offering these prayers. That's what I feel. But that is not indicated clearly here. Is that okay, Chaitanya Chandra Babu?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, can you read the purport, Haribhakti Guru?
Daksha was first born during the reign of Swayambhuva Manu, but because of offending Lord Shiva, he was punished by having the head of a goat substituted for his own head. Thus insulted, he had to give up that body. And in the sixth Manvantara, called the Chakshusha Manvantara, he was born of the womb of Marisha as Daksha. So, Prabhuji, he gave up his body then, no?
Yeah, he did give up his body. And but Prabhupada says the birth of Daksha in itself took place in the sixth Manvantara. But Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur seems to indicate that his creating the progeny was in the sixth Manvantara. Because he thus mentioned that for five Manvantaras, he performed austerities. So, he performed austerities in his second body only. Na? So he must have given up his body and taken birth. Both must have happened in the Swayambhu Manvantara only. According to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Prabhupada does seem to indicate here that he took his birth in the Chakshusha Manvantara. But of course, it's just a detail.
In this connection, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur quotes this verse. Chakshushe Tvantare Prapte Praksarge Kala Vidrute. His previous body had been destroyed, but he, the same Daksha, inspired by the Supreme Will, created all the desired living entities in the Chakshusha Manvantara. 430-49 Bhagavatam. Thus, Daksha regained his previous opulence and again begot thousands and millions of children to fill the three worlds.
Okay, now Daksha is going to again perform some austerities after his attempts to increase the population fails. Okay, that is a story. We are going to see that story. What that story is. Why he again chooses to perform austerities. Yata sasarja bhutani daksho duhitruvatsalaha retasa manasa chaiva tanmama vahita shrunu. So, Shukadeva Swami says, Mama avahitah shrunu. He says to Parikshit Maharaj, please hear with attention. Yata dakshah duhitru vatsala. Hear from me with attention how Prajapati Daksha, who was very affectionate to his daughters, it doesn't say, prajavatsala or whatever. He says duhitru vatsala, indicating that Daksha begot only girls. And he didn't get any male child. Sasarja Bhutani, please hear from me how he created the living entities. Retasa Manasacha. Some of them were created through his semen, some of them were created through his mind. Of course, these Prajapatis were no ordinary personalities and they had the ability to create through their semen, through their mind. And not just same species, different species also they could create like that. So Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, by By mentioning that he was affectionate to his daughters, it is understood that he did not have sons. Okay, is there a purport?
Prabhupada writes the same thing. The word Duhitra Vatsala indicates that all Prajas were born from Daksha's daughters. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that apparently Daksha had no son.
Okay. Manasaiva srijat purvam prajapatir ima prajaha devasura manushyadin nabastala jalaukasaha. Manasa eva, with his mind only, prajapati daksha, purvam asrijat, he first created, ima prajaha deva asura manushya adin, devatas, demons, human beings and others he created through his mind, nabastala jala okasaha, who were situated either in the sky, land or water, like that. No commentary. Is there a purport?
No, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, this Kashyap also, when he united with, like, he also, like, through Kadru and through other, he produced various reptiles and all other species of animals, no?
Correct.
Those daughters are Daksha's daughters only, yeah?
Yes. Probably.
So, they were Daksha's daughters. So, Daksha is also creating, like...
So, he is not only creating other species, but he is creating other progenitors also. Tam abrimhitam alokya praja sargam prajapatihi vindya padan upavrajya socharad dushkaram tapaha. Prajapatihi, but when Prajapati Daksha alokya, when he saw tam praja sargam abrimhitam, that even though he was putting effort, but it was, the population was not increasing to the extent that he must have wished. So saha vindyapadan upavrajya acharat dushkaram tapaha. So he went to the foothills of the Vindhya mountain, and then he executed difficult austerities there. So Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti says vindyapadan means small hills near the Vindhya mountain. So he went there and performed austerities. Is there a purport?
No problem.
Tatra ghamarshanam nama tirtam papaharam param upasprishyanusavanam tapasyatosha yadharim. Tatra upasprishya param tirtam. So performing achaman with the excellent holy water named Aghamarshanam Nama, which had the name of Aghamarshana, which means that the capacity to destroy sins. Papaharam, which destroys sins. Harim Atoshayad. So Daksha satisfied the Supreme Lord. Anusavanam Tapasa. Anusavanam means regulated. Tapasya is austerities. So he tried to please the Supreme Lord. Okay, so now I think it is clear that this Hamsa Guhya prayers were actually offered during the Chakshusha Manvantara only. So now this is, so these prayers were not offered during that long tapasya which he performed for 5 Manvantaras. So then eventually he regained his Prajapati post, and then he actually started generating praja, but then when he realized that it is not happening as fast as he would have desired, then subsequently after regaining the Prajapati post, he goes to the foothills of Vindhya mountains, and then he starts performing austerities to please the Supreme Lord. That is when he offers these Hamsa Guhya prayers, which means this is happening in the, all this is happening, including the offering of Hamsa Guhya prayers, it's all happening in the Chakshusha Manvantara only, 6th Manvantara. Is there a purport?
No, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, a question. Here it is given in this verse, Tapasa Toshaya Dharim. So he did it to please the Supreme Lord. And obviously he had a purpose with him that he wanted to increase the progeny. But if Dhruva Maharaj also had a purpose wherein he wanted a kingdom greater than his great grandfather. But he he got purified in his heart completely. But Daksha, so is that because Narad Muni was his guru and he did not like about Daksha, it is not given here any kind of mercy of devotee.
See, okay. So I think if I have understood your question right, there are two questions here. First is, it clearly, he says that tapasa atoshayad harim. So, which means, did he perform the austerities to actually please Hari? See, there are many ways of pleasing, many levels of pleasing also. So you can, so the Lord can be pleased when you take shelter of the proper Vedic process and perform that process for getting whatever you want. So he was pleased means Lord Hari was satisfied with the perfect execution of those austerities. So he became agreeable to fulfill the desire of Daksha. So that is like the happiness. So that is one understanding. So that is for the first question. So he, this is not tapasa atoshayan harim, does not necessarily mean it was an anya bilashita shunyam tapasa only for the purpose of bhogena tyaga krishnasya hetave. So this is not that kind of satisfaction. He really had a purpose in mind, which was a material purpose only. This is one. And second thing about Dhruva Maharaj worshipping the Supreme Lord for a material purpose and eventually getting purified in his heart. That is a case of, you can say due to the presence of Narada Muni. So he accepted Narada Muni, whereas Daksha will eventually offend Narada Muni. And also he had already offended Lord Shiva also. So therefore probably he did not. And also the Dhruva Maharaj is a case of Kripa Siddha also. So when we are talking about Kripa Siddhi, we cannot ask why did the Dhruva Maharaj get Kripa Siddhi and Daksha did not get. Because ultimately Kripa Siddhi means, you know, you cannot ask. It is completely costless. Like that.
Yes, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, and also Daksha now is doing it under the instruction of Manu, right? Who is?
Yeah, he definitely under some higher instructions he must be doing.
Some higher instruction he is doing. Similarly, Kardam Muni, he asked the Lord for a daughter, for a wife on the instruction of Lord Brahma.
Yeah.
And Lord Brahma and Lord Vishnu was so pleased with him that he cried, and Bindu Sarovar was formed. And like, yeah, he also perfected. Kartha Muni also perfected in that case.
Yeah.
But here, like, again, that disparity is...
I don't understand. What is the disparity?
Means as regards to purification of heart.
Same desire.
You mean Kartha Muni's heart became purified, you're telling?
Yeah, it was already mostly it was pure only, but like
but trace amounts of karma was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is I think addressed also in one of the commentaries. I think maybe the third canto only. Krishna Jagadakur says that Kartha Muni had a very little trace of karma mishra. So and also he had not offended any great devotee also.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he actually eventually became purified and became pure devotee.
Mm-hmm.
But Daksha had lot of the element of karma was very strong.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And also he had offended Lord Shiva of all the people, and that was such a severe offense.
Mm.
So that is why his heart does not get purified.
Okay. Prabhuji, one last question. Like, I just remembered, I had since many days. Like, now regarding offense we are talking, na? So our four Kumaras, they like apparently committed offense against Jay and Vijay. Because of that, we see that Chakravarti Thakur is writing that they got Shantarati. But then, like, of the two things which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took from their sampradaya, both are connected to Radharani. And then when we hear this song, Radhe Jai Jai Madhav Dete, we also see Sanaka Sanatana Varnita Charite. So how they are able to, if they attend Shantarati, how can they understand about the highest level of Madhurya?
See, Shantarati also is a very exalted stage actually.
Okay.
So, Rati means the stage of Bhava. So, it's not an ordinary stage. But having said that, they can glorify. Bhishma Dev was in Dasya Rasa, but he glorified the gopis. So if someone is in a different rasa, it's not that they cannot glorify someone else, but that glorification may not be like the topmost glorification, but nevertheless, we are also glorifying. We are also trying to glorify Radha and Krishna. We have not, at least the four Kumaras reach the stage of Shantarati, but we are still in the stage of Vaidisadhana only. So we are glorifying. So why can't they glorify? So it does not say that Sanaka Sanatana have reached the Madhurya Rasa. Mm-hmm. But it says they are glorifying Radharani. Anyone can glorify Radharani. And why not? They have reached the stage of Bhava. Why can't they glorify Radharani? They will definitely glorify Radharani.
Yeah. Yes, Prabhuji. And as regards to like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking those two things from the Sampradaya and Nimbarka Sampradaya?
For example, if you see, first thing is, I can tell you, I don't know anything about that Sampradaya. I have not read. But I can sort of tell something. It would be speculations, but you can consider it, maybe. I'm not telling that this is the answer. But I can tell, like for example, Brahmaji, our Sampradaya starts with Brahmaji. Correct?
Mm.
And in between Madhvacharya and everyone comes. But, so Brahmaji himself is not exactly a Vrajavasi, right?
Correct.
But still, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chose to come in that Sampradaya or Madhavendra Puri, and from there that whole mood started.
Correct.
Yes. So similarly, something like that could have happened in their Sampradaya also.
Mm-hmm.
We do not know.
Mm-hmm.
Or in Bhagavatam there is a mention of you know, which section were we discussing? Probably, yeah, third canto Kapiladev's teachings only, where Kapiladev says that even the four Kumaras take birth again if they don't worship the Supreme Lord like that. So there in the commentary, Vishnachaka Thakur says, this refers to the four Kumaras in a different universe, he says. Or does he say on a different day of Brahma? Either he says different universe or in a different day of Brahma. So in that sense, you know, which of those four Kumaras actually have started that Sampradaya, that we do not know. So it is mentioned that in some universes, the four Kumaras may not be necessarily devotees also.
Mm-hmm.
Pure devotees, or at least nearly pure devotees. But in some other universes, they could be also. And in some universes, because of offending Jaya and Vijaya, they become like possessors of Shantarati. So now, which of these Kumaras would have started that Sampradaya, that we do not know. So, like that.
Okay.
That's my understanding. I am just presenting some possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't take it as answers. I do not know. I am telling that it is possible.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So, 22nd we have to do, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Astau shid hamsa guhyena bhagavantam adokshajam tubhyam tad abhidasyami kasya tushyad yata harihi. tubhyam tad abhidasyami. I shall explain to you kasya astaushid, how daksha. Kaha is generally refers to Brahma or any prajapati. Here in this case refers to daksha prajapati. Kasya astaushid, how daksha praised bhagavantam adokshajam, the supreme lord adokshaja who is beyond the senses, hamsa guhyena, by the hamsa guhya prayers, atushyad yata harihi. And I will also explain how the supreme lord was pleased with these prayers like that. So it is mentioned that the prayers were previously composed and not made by Daksha. So Daksha did not compose these prayers. They were composed by someone else, but Daksha offered it. So like our bhajan sandhyas, where we sing bhajans, but they were composed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Narottamdas Thakur, Lochanandas Thakur, like that. So we offer them. Similarly, Daksha also here offers prayers which are not essentially composed by Daksha, but composed by someone else, and he was offering those prayers. Is there a purport?
Yes, but even line. It is to be understood that the Hamsa Guhya prayers were not composed by Daksha, but were existing in the Vedic literature.
Same line. Okay. What is the time?
12:03, Prabhuji.
12:03. Okay. So we will start the Hamsa Guhya prayers tomorrow. Okay, so thank you very much for your patient listening. We'll continue tomorrow. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Pancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyo Vacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo. Hare Krishna.